Well, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I realize that there are some of you who will be here tonight for a Romans 6 study, diving into the most significant section of Scripture in all the Bible, that any Christian who understands what Romans 6 says has entered into what God intends for them to experience and freedom, true identity. But I just feel compelled. I have another option, but for whatever reason, so maybe this will minister to somebody here who won't be here tonight. And if you're here tonight, you get to hear it again. So it's like hearing a really good song. And you don't want to hear it just once, you want to hear it again. So you'll hear this little part again tonight. This is Romans chapter 6, verse 3. Well, I'll just start, verse 1. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace might increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? And therefore we have been buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, as Christ was raised from the dead, through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. I'm just going to focus on one little thing. Again, for those of you coming tonight, here's a bunch of stuff. This is just one little detail, but it's a significant one. Everywhere in Romans chapter 6, almost every place where there's a verb used, it's in the aorist tense. Aorist tense, the Greek language doesn't have a past tense like we do. Aorist tense is when is the tense that's normally used, the past tense, but it carries an idea of something that's happened in summary. Like fully happen. And it could even be that, like you say, well, I hate you in the aorist tense. That's like summary. But most of the time it's used in the past tense. And then there is the perfect tense. You didn't come here for a Greek lesson, but it'll help. In the Greek, in the perfect tense means something that's happened, completed in the past with continual present tense, permanent, irreversible results. Okay? And so all these verbs in this part of Romans 6 are in the aorist tense. You were crucified, all this aorist tense stuff. But this one place in verse 5 where he uses the word union, and the word union is the word here carries the idea of something that's been engrafted into something, and then they're one now. They're inseparable. It's been infused into this. It's like the idea, and again, I'll use this analogy tonight, but if you were going to make biscuits, only a southerner would give this an illustration, but if you were going to make biscuits and you put wax paper out on the table and you put all the ingredients out on the table, they're together. There's one word, there's a Greek word for together, it means that. But then if you mix it all together and bake it, you can't separate the ingredients. That's the word for with here. If you have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly also in the light of his resurrection. So you were crucified with Christ. That can't ever be undone. The old you was buried. That can't ever be undone. And you've been raised up in Jesus, now engrafted into him, perfect tense. Completed action in the past with continual present tense results that can't be reversed. Now, why am I saying that? Because this is just one little part of Romans 6, one little truth that we need to dispel a lie from the enemy, is that when you sin, that you're separated from God. That's a lie from the devil. There's nowhere the Bible teaches that. The word here, united, means it can't be separated. The ingredients from a biscuit that's been cooked can't be separated. A union means it can't happen. And yet we've been taught all of our lives as a Christian that when you sin, you've been separated from God until you get it right. It doesn't mean you're lost, but you're separated from him. That's just not true. He's joined himself to you. He's joined you to him. There is no separation between you and him. He said, but what happens? I mean, something happens, right? Well, the scripture talks about quenching the spirit. It talks about grieving the spirit. And so when I choose to live as if I were separated from him, that's what I do when I'm sin. When I live like the old man, I'm not experiencing the life of Christ living through me by the spirit. I've grieved the spirit. I've quenched the spirit. I put my hand over his mouth and said, but he didn't go anywhere. Do you understand that? He didn't turn his back on you. And then once you finally confess your sin, he's going to turn his back towards you. You simply grieved him by not allowing him to live his life through you, and he's there waiting for you simply to stop being stupid and once again draw from, celebrate, rejoice in the fact that he's your life. He didn't go anywhere. What sin does, it opens the door. One, it stops us in the moment from enjoying this life that's ours in Christ, from enjoying the existence that Jesus lives, the party that Jesus has spiritually. We're simply choosing to do it on our own. We've just told him no. I have to tell my puppy that all the time. Stop it. No. So we tell him no. We're doing our own thing. But then the enemy comes along and tells you, boy, you've blown it. And there's this separation now between you and God. And then you find yourself believing now you got to work your way back into a place. I mean, you've confessed it. But, you know, it doesn't stop there. The warfare doesn't stop there. Somehow you keep thinking, yeah, but I know how disappointed he is. And I'm disappointed in myself. He's disappointed. And I've got to prove myself to him. No. You simply start abiding again. Because he didn't go anywhere. There's no separation between you. You just separated yourself from experiencing your union. But he didn't go anywhere. He never goes anywhere. And if he doesn't ever go anywhere, even on the bigger picture, people who live constantly thinking they've lost their salvation, that can't happen unless some of the ingredients of the biscuit can just fall out of the biscuit automatically. It's too late. You're in union with him. It can't be lost. There's no separation. That's what union means. I don't know about you, but that's an important thing to hear. Because there's a possibility at some point in the rest of your Christian life, you might sin. Which is dumb when you can experience the party that Jesus lives in and through us. But when you do, there is no separation. There is no gulf that you've got to cross over to. The union is just as real as it was before. It can never be anything other than that. You own your stuff and call it for what it is, stupid, and start enjoying the party that he lives in us once again. You don't have to do anything to work your way back because there's now this gulf between you and Jesus. That's not possible. The Bible says it, screams it. I wouldn't want, if in marriage you're one, I wouldn't want every time, you know, my spouse did any little thing that there's like this, we're like separated from each other. And we got to work our way back to the place where we're like married again. That's dumb. And it's so drummed in the head of believers, and it's such a dangerous thing because we spend half of our Christian lives in guilt and unholy desperation of trying to work our way back to where we were before there was the separation. No separation. Can't happen. You are in Christ. He is in you, and nothing can fall out of the biscuit and separate itself. Amen? Some good biscuit theology. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.